ever think it's okay to lie? Do you think that lying is necessary at times, or is it unacceptable all the time? We are going to talk about why people lie this hour, from you and me to high-profile celebrities and politicians. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lying is in the headlines because, after all, it is an election year. And recently, Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte said that he was robbed at gunpoint in Rio, and it wasn't long before evidence revealed that he was lying. We are going to talk with a guest psychologist about why people lie, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions and your examples. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nikki Nance, a licensed psychotherapist and an assistant professor of human services and psychology at Boston College. She has been quoted in several publications, including the Chicago Tribune, Forbes.com, and most recently, my Palm Beach Post. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your take on Ryan Lochte? He reported that he and several team members were robbed at gunpoint outside their cab while in Rio. Sources say not only did the details in Lochte's story change over time, but a gas station security tape showed the swimmers vandalizing a bathroom door and fighting with the security guard. What is your reaction to Lochte saying he was robbed at gunpoint?
Well, you know, I sometimes think lies are just to, in that kind of situation, to cover something that we're never going to know about. It was a preposterous lie. I don't think anybody was going to, I mean, I think he knew that other people would question him.
Why say anything at all? Why not just be silent? Why did he have to make up a story even?
Well, you're assuming that he had good judgment of any kind. I've worked with a lot of substance abusers, and they do really tell extreme lies when the truth would be just as good. Now, and I think we do that in all situations. You'll find people that tell lies that are really not significant. In his case, it became significant, but the truth would have been a much better choice for him. And I wonder what went on prior to the night. When I first heard the story, I thought, well, he's either lost some money or done something that he doesn't want to be, doesn't want to talk about. So he's made up this story to draw attention from that. And people do that just to avoid being confronted about, anything that they would be held responsible for.
Yeah. In general, why do people lie?
I would say the two most prominent reasons: one, to avoid the pain of being confronted by somebody, and the other one, to look better.
And what do you mean by avoid the pain of confrontation?
Well, if you've fallen short doing any kind of a job or performing in any way, making an excuse is almost an essential lie that people do, so that they, what they're saying is that it isn't that I have fallen short, it's that some other thing external to me has come in and taken over. Little kids do it all the time.
For example?
A ghost did it. The dog. One of my favorite ones that I've heard from a teacher was, my mother won't allow me to have a pencil, so I didn't have my homework.
Oh, yeah. So excuses as to why you didn't get something done, you might make up a lie, and that you're avoiding then the being questioned for why you didn't get your homework done.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about the? I mean, in some cases, it might be who did this? Who did this terrible deed? And even if you did it, you say I didn't. That would be because you don't want to get in trouble, right?
That's right. To avoid consequences.
Yes.
It could be, also to avoid taking any responsibility. How many people make an excuse or tell a lie about why they're saying no when someone asks them to do something?
Yeah. And what was your it's avoiding confrontation, avoiding consequences. What was the other thing you mentioned?
To look better. People sometimes for acceptance, sometimes for advancement. And sometimes it's a process that comes from deep within, that somebody has such a base of shame, or which is kind of the opposite of good self-esteem. At the very far end of the self-esteem spectrum, at the bottom is shame. So shameful people will often make them, you know, do things to make themselves look better because they think they're so unacceptable as they are.
Yeah. Do you think that there are? I was thinking there's little tiny white lies there. I will admit to lying. I've lied when somebody, a friend of mine or a family member, might say, "Do I look okay? How does this look on me?" And maybe I don't think it really looks that great, but I'm not about to say, you know what, that looks really bad on you. I'm going to say, oh, it looks fine. It looks good. Because I don't want to hurt that other person's feelings.
Well, you know, another way to look at that is to be loyal to them and not let somebody that doesn't love them hurt their feelings. Maybe you should tell them.
Right, but that's a common reason why people lie, is to maybe not hurt someone's feelings.
Or not be the one who hurts their feelings. So protecting, you know, the question then becomes, are you protecting yourself from being the one who hurts their feelings, or are you protecting them from having their feelings hurt?
Right.
I think a lot of times about people who audition for, you know, shows like American Idol that are so terrible. So you wonder, why couldn't their folks help them out and say, this might not be the year for you, or you're really, you know, prepare yourself to not go through.
Right, and I guess I'm also avoiding a confrontation, perhaps, by saying, that looks great. When I, you know, it's not just hurting feelings. I don't want to start a little, you know, some sort of a fight or something with someone over that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest, I think, some of the most frequent lies are to spouses and to parents, and for just those reasons that people are trying to preserve the relationship, and that's the best choice they think they have at the time. When couples and families come into therapy, routing out their, I tell them to, you know, reach in and look for your most excellent truth. You know, if you were telling your most excellent truth here in five words, what would that be? Because I think for sometimes you do that so long and so frequently that you lose sight of what the truth really is.
Yeah. So do you think as a psychologist or a psychotherapist that it's ever okay to lie?
I think some people get in situations where lying is going to be self-preservation, and that might be where they learn to lie. You know, kids that grow up in abusive homes, kids that are made to cover another parent's secret. Lying is emotionally and maybe physically keeping somebody safe. So, you know, certainly in those cases, I think people will disagree with me. I think it's fine for the police to lie to get to a better, a more important truth about, a crime that's been committed. And I know they do that in interrogations.
Oh, we have evidence that shows that you did this to get a confession or something.
Exactly. You know, so if it does the job and it's purposeful and you know, like within the protocols and doesn't railroad anybody, I think that's probably justifiable. I'm not really right and wrong goes from it comes from your deep values. Some people think any lie is terrible, and some people think telling the truth is the last choice on their list. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do whatever's going to make the situation they're in the best. And we train them to do that. You know, we train salespeople to detour around the truth and to say things that are inviting to the customer and make a personal relationship with the customer. You know, and I know that many times they do, oh, yes, I've been there. I know somebody who does that, you know, just trying to make that connection. So they're paid to tell lies, and the most effective ones are the ones telling the best lies.
We talked about Ryan Lochte, and there are other, I guess, high-profile cases of people lying, including politicians. I'm not going to start naming names because you could say all politicians tell lies, but why do you suppose politicians are famous for telling lies?
Well, you know what? I think they're intriguing. They pose a little mystery to us as to where does the truth stop and the lies start. And that's part of their personal power, you know, that the better liar you are, the better you are at spinning the truth into something that's appealing to people, the more power you're going to have. So those lies are associated with power, and anybody that's with political aspirations wants power, even if they want the power for good reasons, the acquisition of that power is frequently isn't going to be as quick with the absolute truth. So they go for a lie. It works. They keep doing it.
Do you think there's a difference between an out-and-out lie and spinning or massaging the truth to make a person look more favorable? Professor Nance, do you think there's a difference between spinning the truth and lying?
And I think it's on a spectrum. You know, I mean, I think there's a point at which, you know, if I'm looking at, absolute truth to a little white lie to a spun truth to a not so bad lie to a great big lie and then to a big damaging lie, you know, somewhere you cross the line. And I have a hard time saying, is there a difference? You know, I think it's going to be, at what point are you hurting somebody? You know, that's the difference. If you spin the truth, you know, if I spin the truth, make myself a little better and do a really good job for my constituents, and I haven't hurt anybody with the spin except for the person I defeated, I guess I think that's all right. You know, so, it's, you know, what's the intent? What's the intent behind, and what's the outcome? So without, was it still a lie? Well, a spun truth, I think you can emphasize anything. One way that we lie is by exaggerating, and another way that we lie is by omitting things. So you make the truth either bigger or smaller, and you've got a lie. But at what point on that continuum? So That's my struggle with answering that question.
Yeah.
Kind of a yes or no.
Right. We are talking about lying this hour and why people lie. Wondering if you will admit to ever lying. Maybe you want to talk about how it feels to be lied to. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope that you understand there's a reason why. We are talking about lies. We're talking about different types of lies and why people lie, and wondering if you have a question about lying or an example of lying. Do you think it's ever okay to lie? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nikki Nance, a licensed psychotherapist and an assistant professor of human services and psychology at Beacon College. And we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions for her about lying. She was quoted in several publications about, for example, the Ryan Lochte lie, when Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte reported that he and his team members were robbed at gunpoint in Rio, when in fact that was not true. So why do people lie? Well, in some cases, Professor Nance says that we lie because we want to avoid the consequences. Sometimes we lie because we want to avoid the pain of confrontation. Sometimes we lie to make ourselves look better. What do you think? We have many callers, so let's go to Mary in Milwaukee first. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What is your question or example?
Well, I have a comment. I was married for over 30 years to a man who I believe to be the most honest and upright, forthright person in the world. And eventually, I found out that he was a pathological liar. It was really disconcerting. And what I realized was that it was probably one of the worst forms of mental abuse a person can go through. When I asked him why he lied, he said, because I can. Hmm. And he says, and sometimes I just lie about what I had for breakfast. And this was after years and years of believing in him. I thought I was going to lose my mind about the last 10 years of my marriage.
So he would lie about what he was having for breakfast? Or?
Well, he lied about a lot of things. It turns out he lied all the time. But just things as simple as that.
I'm sorry. And so that sounds like you hear the term pathological liar, Professor Nance. So is that what that is?
Well, pathological liars, I think this is a wonderful example that he lies when the truth would be fine. It doesn't matter what he had for breakfast, but he lies about it. And that's a constant pursuit of feeling more clever than other people. I believe that it will be identified as a process addiction, that there are some people that are really walking through life thinking, how many people can I outsmart today, even on the smallest level? When I say a process addiction, just like drugs trigger certain parts of the brain, there are behaviors that trigger those same, like the pleasure center of the brain, and a person gets addicted to that feeling of pleasure. So gambling would be one of that. Sex addiction, shopping addictions, addictions like maybe to pornography. And I think that pathological liars that I've known really do seem to maintain their brain chemistry in some way by constantly telling lies.
I know someone who used to and talk about, I got all these medals in the military, or I had this, I saved someone's life from a burning car, and things that were just totally made up.
Well, like being robbed at gunpoint.
Yeah.
those are big lies that sound like they're made to make the person look better.
Yeah.
That are kind of enmeshed, and lying to your significant other and maintaining a lie as a life when it's not for survival purposes.
Yeah, and Mary thought that this was a power thing, and this, because I can, that's why her spouse lied. She also thought it was a form of abuse, that she was being abused. What do you think?
Well, I agree. If you think about how people are brainwashed, we give them, we treat them nicely, and then we pull it away, and treat them nicely and pull it away. So this is it's hard for anybody to process this mix of messages coming in all the time. It is a form of emotional abuse, and a gross violation of what the marriage vows are.
Yeah. Mary, thank you for the call. Dave in Delavan is with us. Hi, Dave. Dave, are you there?
Yeah.
Yes, what is your question or comment?
Comment? We will not stop lying because it's easier for most people to lie or accept others who lie to them than it is to accept the truth. The truth is the truth, like a dead-end street, but lies can always be changed just a little to make lies acceptable. That is actually their purpose in our American political society and most societies around the world. I guess some may say it's in our nature to lie, but it's also in our nature to tell the truth. At least that's what we are taught in school by our parents and politicians.
Well, all right. So it's in our nature to tell the truth, and it's in our nature to lie. What do you make of that, Professor Nance?
I think it might be in our nature to tell a lie, and it's more in our nature to expect the truth. We're confusing in that way. We expect people generally are expecting somebody to be telling them the truth unless they have a history you know, if I say, how are you today? I don't expect somebody to, you know, of course, you make that, if it's somebody that you know, I don't expect that they're going to say great if they're not. But they do. So I'm asking the question, maybe not out of a habit, but just, are you doing okay? I'm expecting them to just tell me the truth, you know. Even though I know that it would be in people's nature to lie. People lie about little tiny things that are unimportant. Like, have you seen this movie? That's a common one, you know, if you're going to reference that to a story that you're going to tell. Well, have you seen the movie such and such? It would be like that. Most people are going to nod their head and say yes, whether they have or not, or whether they remember if they have or not.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave. I don't know if he got there or not, I'm not sure, but he wanted to say that we would rather be lied to in some cases than be told the truth. Do you think there's any truth to that, that we don't want to really hear? I don't want my husband to tell me that I look fat in this outfit.
Well, I think you don't want to look fat in the outfit. You know? So I'm going with that. Do we want him to tell a lie? You know, in some relationships we do. And, you know, you need the decoder ring to your spouse, particularly, you know. does she not? And I think that, you know, some of the things I do in families is to say, well, I really need the truth right now, and you won't be in trouble for telling it to me. And that could be for those little things, like, I really need to look nice today. If this looks bad, I'm counting on you to tell me the truth, and I won't be upset about what I hear. So, you know, asking for more truth is okay. Can you tell? And sometimes, I'm a college professor, and I teach in an unusual place because some of our students would be on the autism spectrum, you know. So they don't tell lies, you know. They see things, you know, whatever, it's literal to them, you know, like whatever is presented is how they say it. They're not cagey in that way, some of them. And then other ones are just like every other college student I've ever experienced, who come in with all kinds of stories about why they didn't do their homework, or what, you know, why they got a bad grade on a test, or why they're not going to be there that day. And I really try to massage a little more truth out of them. You know, like, can you, you know, well, I kind of hear what you're telling me. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? That makes more sense when I hear it. It's all, those are all, like, you know, just in terms of the excuses. The people that are really not capable of telling lies make us all better. When I say they make us all better is, you know, if you say this isn't that important, then they're going to say, well, it was important yesterday, and then question that. Like having little Clarence Darrows in the class. You know, you can ask for more truth, and you can make less consequences. You know, at the beginning of a class, I might say, it doesn't matter why you haven't shown up. These are the things that I accept as an excuse. So if you didn't show up, you can say, what did I miss? But don't trouble yourself with making a story for me, because both of us know that it's stressful to you and stressful to me. So, you know, I really try to, you know, talk about that a lot, because we're getting people ready for the work world, and you know, your boss is not going to be as entertained or tolerant of those little lies as your mom was. And I, you know, yeah, they don't have to love you. There's somebody waiting for your job.
Right. Your boss is not going to appreciate a lie on your resume, for example.
Yeah. Or an excuse on the job. I always said, you know, when I supervise people, my best employee is the one that marches up to my desk and says, oh, my God, I really screwed up. That's my good employee.
Yeah. Well, let's see if anybody will fess up to lying. Do you lie? Why do you lie? Have you been lied to? How does that feel? Why do you think people lie? And you know what I'd like to get into, too, is do you forgive people if they lie? We'll talk a little bit about whether we forgive these high-profile celebrities and athletes that have been lying. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nikki Nance, a licensed psychotherapist and assistant professor of human services and psychology at Beacon College. She was quoted in one of the articles we found about Ryan Lochte and his big lie that was uncovered when he said that he and several team members were robbed at gunpoint in Rio. before we go back to the phones, I'm you know, he lost all of his, he had big consequences for that lie when it was uncovered. Lost a lot of his, whatever, his endorsement deals. And but they just announced this week he'll be on Dancing with the Stars. So are we going to forgive Ryan Lochte? Do we generally forgive people who are big liars?
Oh, I think we do. You know, some people are just likable, and we like to make excuses for them. You know, and I think, you know, in our family, we might know somebody's minimizing their responsibility or stretching the truth. You know, we're forgiving them 10, 15 times a day when they're looking us dead in the eye. Like, you know, and I think another thing for myself, you know, with a big family, I make the translation in my head. You know, like when this son says this, I can estimate that it was really this. And then I just go on about my business. I don't stop and discuss the truth. I just go on with, you know, with you know, whatever it is. So I make the adjustment, and I'm sure lots of parents do that.
Let's go to another call. Jackie in Appleton. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask about lies of omission, particularly in relation to my children or anybody who has children. Or is a child, I tend to tell my children the truth all of the time. I don't tell them in adult terminology, but I tell them in child terminology. People give me grief about it a lot because they feel like I should not be bringing adult-type issues, world problems to my children. My children don't need to be aware of those things. But I feel if my child asks, I think it's important that I tell them some sort of answer.
Yeah, can you give us an example, Jackie, general?
Oh, gosh. If my children see something in the news, for example, like the Pulse nightclub shooting, something of that nature, yeah. And they have questions about it, I try to answer those questions as honestly as possible without making it seem traumatic, or I don't speak to them in the way in which I would speak to an adult, but another family member would tell me, why did you have that discussion with your child? You know, they're a child. They don't need to know that.
Yeah. So instead, she thought you maybe should just say, well, nothing happened, honey.
And lie.
Yeah. So, Professor Nance, how do you recommend parents deal with this type of situation?
Oh, I think your caller should give mom lessons.
Congratulations, Jackie. You win.
Yes. Yeah, record that. Because if she doesn't bring the truth to them, the world is going to bring it to them. Unless she's raising them on the moon, they're going to be exposed to all that. So why shouldn't she tell her, you know, the best truth? And I think there's another truth you can tell the kids, which is, I'm incredibly uncomfortable talking to you about this right at this moment, but we're going to talk about it. But give me a minute to put myself together, or I'll get back to you, or, you know, it could be troublesome. Do you still want to hear it? I mean, there are a lot of little things that you can say to make that better and more palatable for kids. You know, when they're asking is the time to answer them, and that's about sex, ooh, about violence, about life. If they've asked, they have an awareness. You want to get in there before anybody else does.
All right. The six-year-old daughter says, Billy at school said Santa Claus doesn't exist. Is there really a Santa Claus, Professor Nance?
Well, I think I'd have to go along with Billy on this. You know, she already knows. She's already questioning. Do I want to tell her a lie? No.
Yeah.
So I could say, you know what, honey? I don't really believe there is. I like when you believe there is. And let's talk about, you know, is that hard to hear? Like, does it make you sad? You know, there are a lot of Santa Claus-like things. You can go a lot of places after that in a conversation. But I'm, you know, if she's asking about Billy's lie, I'm not going to tell a lie.
Yeah, that's. I remember my sister did that when she was questioned by her children. Is there really a Santa Claus? It was put back to her. Well, what do you think?
Yeah.
And she did. I guess she just wanted to see. And I guess. Never mind. We won't go into that anymore. John in Minneapolis is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. Good morning. I just think that people that lie are. You know, they don't have no character in their, you know, usually if they lie, they have to cover the last lie with another lie. And it just, you know, it's, you know, I just think it's lack of character that people go down that road.
Okay. So if you lie, if a politician lies, it indicates a lack of character. What do you think, Professor Nance?
It could. You know, again, I look at what is quality of the lie. Is there a justification? Is it a spin, or is it an absolute lie? Is this something that made this look a little bit better and eliminated a little bit of the wrong thing I did, or is this denying totally something that I did that was absolutely wrong? And I think character, I like that your caller talks about character, because facing the truth is what builds character. Then some of the truths that we face are, sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes people won't like me. Not everything I do is acceptable. Not everything I like is popular. Those are the kinds of truths that people have to accept about themselves to build character. So, I think we're right on the right track in talking about that. And regarding our celebrities or athletes, especially ones who train for something from a young age or gain celebrity at a young age, their whole developmental process is interrupted, and they don't get to have the challenges that kids in the mainstream have that build character.
Yeah,
because and a lot of times because they're making money for it.
And I think John didn't go into it, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't start naming names when I talked about politicians lying, because I didn't want this to turn into some sort of partisan affair necessarily.
Right.
John doesn't think all politicians lie, and that I guess I just made a blanket statement. No, not all politicians lie. I won't say that. Both Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail has been accused of lying over emails and such. So has Donald Trump been accused of lying. He's been checked by PolitiFact on a number of statements he's made, and he's gotten a number of pants on fire, ratings. So remember that childhood thing, liar, liar, pants on fire?
I do.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a rating.
Yeah, they do. They rate. If something is so outrageous, they call it pants on fire. Some politicians have been caught in lies. And again, I just didn't, that doesn't mean all politicians lie.
Well, and I wonder if that furthers them in their career, because, these are the two presidential candidates. So, despite those are the lies that we know about. I wonder how many lies got them to those positions. And I wonder, I wonder among, presidents of any country where that's an elected position, if people who achieve that, have been just much better at lying to get to that point. Then you get under the scrutiny of the entire country and the media, and maybe it's not going to get you the rest of the way that you want to go.
We are talking about lying, why people lie, what kinds of lies there are, talking about whether you think lies are ever okay. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about why we lie, why some of us lie. Do all of us lie? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Professor Nikki Nance, who is a licensed psychotherapist and assistant professor of human services and psychology at Beacon College. Let's go back to the phones. Todd in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Todd.
Hi. I've always worked in social policy in my career, and I listen to NPR a lot. And I grew up in a pretty conservative area of a suburb of Chicago. And I just noticed that people that I know from growing up that are more controlling, they believe in things like tough love. They're more traditional. Tend to not want to accept what the research says, and other people that are representing what the research is and doing what's right and what's truthful, these people that are more traditional tend to they tend to lie about that person to prove their point and their views, and then also and misrepresent them, and also they are often people that get lied to a lot because people know that they can't really handle the truth. Does that make sense?
I was having trouble following. You think that traditional people, I didn't quite understand what you that they that why they lie. Why you're saying they try to on purpose misrepresent people?
They misrep when okay. So when somebody realizes what the research says and they live their life by what the research says, but then in order to prove that what they're saying is wrong, these people tend to lie and misrepresent the people that are saying what's the truth. Like, you know, for example, like in Tough Love, like in education and Tough Love, a lot of educators believe in that tough love type of mentality, and some of them that don't do that and want to support kids in a more of a caring way rather than the tough love type of way. Those people, they tend to lie and misrepresent the people that are actually being the more support, providing more support for the kids that they need.
Do you see this happening?
I think I understand what Todd is getting at. Sometimes people have such deep values that I think the first lie they're telling is to themselves, and that they'll have some denial about, and it's, at some level, it's not, what they're saying isn't the truth, but to them it is. And they will miss some very, essential errors in logic, So I've seen that. I'm really on both far ends, I guess, of the spectrum, but I think I understand that, it's not an assault on traditional values, but just that anybody that has a deep belief about anything, it's hard for them to make that right inside when they get information that goes against it. They don't have a place to put it, so they can turn a blind eye to it.
Thank you very much, Todd, for calling. Joe in Racine is with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joyce. Just wanted to comment about the moral relativism that's exhibited by this guest. He talked with approval about cops or law enforcement lying in the interrogation of accused people or people that are investigating for a crime, and liking that to being okay as long as the end justified the means. And then she also bootstrapped that into saying it's akin to salesmen puffing and lying in order to close a sale without really recognizing the difference. I mean, there's justice involved. There's a cop can take away your liberty. And somehow this person who is supposedly a professor didn't see that distinction is definitely outrageous.
Joe, thanks for the call. I'll just say this for the benefit of other listeners. The name is Joy, not Joyce. You did, Professor Nance, expect to hear some pushback on your claim that maybe it was okay for a police officer to lie in order to get to the greater good or to get to justice.
I guess just to differentiate, I really didn't. I don't think it's okay for salespeople.
Yeah, I didn't recall you saying that.
Yeah, so I don't put those two things together because, it's a whole different situation and, a lot less importance. And, I think I did say I didn't believe that should be used to railroad people. I would be interested in knowing how often it's used that it gets to, to justice. So I stand by it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Joe. Mark in Oconomowoc. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead with your example or question.
I guess I have a comment, and that is, to me, when you tell the truth, and you really don't have to worry then about what you said if you have to recall it later, because when you've kind of told a lie, it potentially starts to take a life of its own, because other people may get involved, and it can go in a lot of different directions. And I'm not saying there aren't white lies and things like that, but particularly in business, you probably ought to stay pretty darn close to the truth, because otherwise, again, you may not remember what you said.
Yeah, you have to keep on telling lies, and then you forget what lies you told, Professor Nance.
Well, people do that. And, you know, it's uncomfortable to watch them try to recover from losing track of their lies sometimes. You know, I think that in business, the truth is always the best policy. You know, and again, you know, I'm very much a proponent. Tell the most excellent truth. You know, if somebody calls, you know, when I had a private practice, if somebody calls and we have made a mistake, then you say, we made a mistake. And, you know, don't try to skirt around that in any way, because what you're, you know, you build the relationship. People will forgive you for making a mistake. They're probably not going to forgive you for trying to make a fool of them.
So you advocate telling, did you say it was the most excellent truth?
Tell your most excellent truth. And sometimes you have to go in and find that. And the reason I use that exact terminology is because it's not just what rolls off your tongue. You have to go in and say, okay, what really is the truth? And then you choose from that the statement that you're going to make.
Oh. But talk a little bit more about that. How can you, I mean, you have to really think about what the truth is?
Yes, you do. If somebody, you know, here would be a typical one that somebody might say to me, you just don't like me. You know, there would be a time that I'd have to go inside and ask myself pretty quickly, am I going to stand there and deny it and say, of course I like you? Or am I going to say, you know what, sometimes you're not my favorite person, but let's talk about this issue. But I have to take ownership of that, you know, and that makes me a better person. Because then the next time that person irritates me, I have to ask myself, is it just because I really don't care for them? Yeah. So all of that is, you know, grist for me, grist for the therapy mill, grist for the personal growth mill.
So what is the most excellent truth when it comes, if somebody asks me, do I, you know, look fat in this outfit, and that person does indeed look fat in that outfit, I should say that.
Well, I think I would say, you know, I don't think it's the most flattering on you. I'm not going to use the word fat. They already did. It's already bad, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
maybe that other dress I think looks better or something.
Yeah, but to tell the lie. I mean, I guess I would feel bad if my friend went out and, you know, they ended up uncomfortable, or somebody else said, "Oh my God, did you wear that?" You know. Yeah, Nikki told me to. You know, I don't want to be that friend. You know? And it takes a little bit more effort to do it, and it's much easier. You know, and that's where the character building comes. It is much easier for me to say you look great than to have the conversation. But I have to go with, you know, it only takes a split second to check myself. If you make yourself aware of it, as part of mindful living, if you make yourself aware of it when somebody asks you a question. The other thing is you can correct a lie. You know, you can say, you know what, when I answered you, I think I didn't say the rest of what I wanted to say there. So you can go back to somebody and practice finding your most excellent truth, or saying, I thought of it longer, and I don't really think that I said what I meant, or I think I don't think I really think that anymore. So, you know, that you can retrieve situations so that you don't do what the former caller said, which is build one lie off another until you've lost track. The more you are truthful, you know, find your own feelings about things, find your own meaning that you've put to things, then the more truthful you can be with other people.
I'm going to give you a tough one. Let's say someone had an affair earlier on in a relationship and cheated on someone, but it's a long time ago. It's over. That person, that affair means nothing. 10 years later, you're solid in your relationship with that other person, and that other person suspected something was going on, or maybe specifically asked. What about that? You could destroy your marriage or your relationship with that person by telling the truth.
You could. I'll tell you this, in therapy, in marriage therapy, like if there are undisclosed things, we don't predict real good outcomes for those relationships. So I don't think that means that if you didn't get caught and nothing happened and 10 years went by and you're two different people now and you didn't say anything and your relationship is great and you sit on that lie, I can understand why, and it's probably acceptable. But if somebody's suspicious, there's already something going on.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
Even in that case... I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the rest of you, because this is the thing that makes people feel crazy. They suspect that there's something going on, and you're lying about it. And the truth isn't matching, you know, what they're feeling. That's the emotional abuse.
Donna in Burlington is with us. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a problem with, for the most part, I have a very difficult time telling lies, and I have a very difficult time being able to discern when somebody else is telling a lie. Even in a situation where I'm in a group and someone will say something that is obviously a lie, but everyone else knows it and they laugh because it's more of a sarcastic joke, and I'll believe it, and then I'll kind of get laughed at, and not in a nasty way, but sometimes I get very upset, and I'll tell my husband I feel like an idiot, and he says, "You're not an idiot, you're just gullible," and I'll have people approach me more for money or something like that, and then... It's not that I haven't tried to tell lies. I have tried to tell lies, but usually my husband will say, you know, that was so transparent. I mean, who would believe such a thing? And I said, well, I would believe it.
Donna's a terrible liar, and that probably is good, Professor Nance. But what about, I have to admit, I've been gullible at times, too. Any advice, Professor Nance?
Well, we all expect to hear the truth. Something about being gullible because you have such a base of honesty is pretty charming, if you ask me. my most gullible friends are the ones that I can count on, for the truth to come through. So, there's a lot of good integrity that goes with that. And the gullibility is like hopefulness for humanity, that you hope people are just telling you the truth. So I don't think that's a bad thing. There are ways that you can discern a lie, lots of information about, things, people think if somebody's looking you in the eye, they're telling you the truth. Well, any good liar knows that's what people think. So they can look you in the eye pretty easily and tell you the most preposterous truth. Because they learn our behavior the way we learn theirs. But there are some other little tip-offs, where a person's looking. You have to be real observant of their normal behavior when they're telling the truth. And then you'll pick up the little subtleties. This is why moms are pretty good at lie detecting, generally, because they know what their kid usually looks like when they're talking.
Do you think? And we have 30 seconds. Do you think we're going to see the day when honesty is the best policy, that more of us will tell the truth?
Oh, we can only hope. But I'm probably the wrong expert for that because I'm from the hippie generation. I thought by now we'd all be walking around humming Imagine and living in total peace and harmony. But don't go by me.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us. Nikki Nance, licensed psychotherapist, assistant professor of human services and psychology at Beacon College. Thank you to producers Nyasia Ellison and Brianne Chasseau. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.